If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
The Coigig Pod on Off the Ball.
And then we had Eileen, who we kind of picked because we thought, you know, knows Irish football inside out, and then that'll do the job. And those kind of things aren't really what we need. We need a really, really good, strong coach.
Subscribe to the Coigig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster, and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Now, our next guest is on the back of an unbelievable 12 months. To say it was her breakout year in rugby would be to put it mildly. She was Ireland's player of the Six Nations last year, then part of the Ireland team that beat New Zealand in the autumn. She would then be selected in the World Rugby Dream Team for 2024 and picked as the Irish Rugby Writers Player of the Year as well. Have a look at this.
Off the back. Look at the power. The defenders are hanging off of her, trying everything they can to get her down, but she will not go down. And look at the Canadian defenders.
Aoife, away for everyone.
Welcome.
Well, that wasn't a bad year, Aoife, the last 12 months.
Yeah,
hell of a ride.
Yeah, even just seeing that clip is a bit funny, like, because I can just remember post-game, my mom ringing me and being like, jeez, they tried to pull that scrum cap off of you. But yeah, no, it's been a hell of a ride. Like, it's my first campaign in the Six Nations, my first full campaign. And then obviously it was the team's first time playing a competition of purely tier one competition and like outside Six Nations. So yeah, like, not only has it been a hell of a ride for myself, like, it's been an amazing year for Irish rugby as well in the women's sector.
Was that the specific ambition at the start of last year when you sit down, or certainly after the Six Nations, you sit down, look at New Zealand and say, we can go and win this game and we should absolutely be trying to do this, and if not, it's a failure? Or where did that sit in your objectives?
I think post-Six Nations, we kind of sat down and we were like, Jesus, we've just qualified for a World Cup, because obviously we hadn't done that for the last World Cup in New Zealand. So we were coming out of that competition with a lot of momentum, and going into WXV1 then, a lot of media had kind of been like, it's a step too far for them. They're not going to go down too well. Like, Wales had come out of it and they'd finish last then in the Six Nations, and people were afraid that had happened to us. But I think we kind of stuck to ourselves, and it gave us nearly that bit of a buzz, being like, yeah, no, we're going to prove people wrong here. And I think going into that New Zealand week, we were so excited to get stuck into them, because only Nicole Fowley and Cliona Maloney had played New Zealand before, so everyone else had never stood in front of a haka, never played against the black jersey. So yeah, it was a pretty special feeling, and yeah, we knew we could do it as long as we stuck together and we did what we planned to do.
What's a victory against New Zealand feel like? asking for a friend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. yeah, like, it's absolutely amazing, because Ireland women's team are now the only team on the whole planet to have an above 50% record against a New Zealand team. Yeah. So it's gas. We went into that match, and we've played them three times and we've won twice now, and it's ridiculous because there's so much history in only three games. So I can't remember what year it was, but the last World Cup, that one of the World Cups that the women played in, they got to a semi-final in a World Cup. First Irish team to do that as well. But But they'd bet New Zealand to get to a semi eventually. Unfortunately, lost to England, and England went on to win it that year. But yeah, I think what made it so special was we knew we could do it. We had come from such a low place in previous years. Like in 23, we came last in the Six Nations. I think we scored two tries, one of them being a penalty try, and obviously the other try was a winning like try of the year because there was no other tries for it to compete against. So, yeah, like it was a tough year. And we came in then to WXV3, which is when Scott Beeman joined us, and geez, he's done a hell of a job with us. Like he gave us so much confidence. We went and we played against Kazakhstan and Colombia and Spain and in Dubai, and like the results were ridiculous. Like it was, I think the girls had bet like Kazakhstan by like 109-0 or something, and it kind of gave us that bit of confidence of Jesus, like we actually can score tries and we can win games. And then we played Spain, it was a bit tighter, and we were like, okay, we can close out games, even if like it was WXV3 and we were going in playing against England and France and that kind of thing in Six Nations. But yeah, I think coming from those lows to then beating the Black Ferns on the world stage was ridiculous. Yeah, as you could probably see on the news when we on the ground crying, but like, yeah, no, it was pretty special.
We do have some footage to play from that game against the Black Ferns as well. Let's remind ourselves of it.
Net will do even more. Away goes Aoife Wafer. She's going to be hard to stop from there. Burrowing low, barging over the line, scoring! Brilliance from Aoife Wafer and Ireland. They punish New Zealand's mistake. Wafer's going to bounce out in the back again. She's gone blindside once more. Going to go herself, Aoife Wafer, and get her second try. Another little bit of magic.
Your two tries.
From Aoife Wafer.
Your two tries in that game. How important is it, I wonder, to get a result like that early in your career? Yeah. I wonder how important it is for you that this has happened in almost your first full year of playing for Ireland, that it is full of all these boxes ticked almost. New Zealand, done. Next time you play them this year in the World Cup, there's not going to be that sense of, geez, it's a first-time thing that we need to achieve.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? Like, we obviously didn't have the results we wanted against the likes of England and France in the Six Nations. Hopefully we'll change that this year, but... yeah, I think it's monumental for our team because, like, we're full of youngsters, really. Like I consider myself nearly an older version of the team at this stage because, like, there's young ones coming in all the time. You have Katrina Finn, who's coming in, and she's 18, 19. You have Katie Corrigan, who's obviously played Six Nations, and she was only 18 or so at the time. So me sitting here being 21, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm getting along now. But yeah, no, it's huge for us. Like we've such good momentum now going into a Six Nations, coming off the back of a WXV1 where we were completely written off and we finished second just behind England, who are probably favourites to win that World Cup. So yeah, it's huge. It's that thing where we always believe that we can do it. It's just a matter of if we stick together and if we kind of go to our game plan.
What's the one big change? And I'm sure it's probably lots of small changes, but it's quite the turnaround in a short space of time. Is it just, is it a big component of the inner belief, or is it the structure or the support or the investment behind the team? What is the one thing that you would say has been the catalyst for this change of fortune and belief in yourselves?
Yeah, like, I think it's hard to pin it down to just one thing because obviously you have our girls coming back in from the sevens and they've been absolutely phenomenal for us. They've added huge value to our team, but then you have the likes of our coaching staff who are world class. You have Scott Beeman obviously and Hugh Hogan now, and there was more coaches, and you have obviously Cotters, who's a character in himself. And there's so many more people behind in the backroom staff that we need every one of them. I think personally it's probably a huge culture shift. So we've had a lot of work done with us with Sean Ryan, who's our culture lead, and he has done absolutely phenomenal work with us. And I think between himself and Scott, they've created an environment that everyone is hungry, and everyone wants to bring Ireland back to a successful Ireland. So it's not just about wearing a green jersey, it's being successful in a green jersey and competing against the best and beating the best, because Ireland women's team have been at the top of the world. They've won Grand Slams, they've won Six Nations, got World Cup semi-finals, and we don't want that to just be a one-off. We want to go and we want to get further in a World Cup, or we want to go and win more Grand Slams, or that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, I think it's probably a culture shift. What I say would be the biggest change, probably.
I'd be keen to get... Yeah.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
Glad ForceFlex Max Strength now has bags with a 2x stronger top for over-the-top strength, like the kind of over-the-top strength you need when Bill breaks your bowl of buffalo chicken dip. Glad ForceFlex Max Strength, strong enough for all of life's garbage. 2x stronger top versus 13-gallon ForceFlex bags.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Meet Flip. She's one half of a flip-flop.
That's me.
Who got left behind at Celebration Key, Carnival's exclusive paradise in Grand Bahama.
I chose to stay here. It really is paradise.
So now, Flip spends her time lounging on the beach, swimming in the lagoon.
And eating. The only thing more impressive than my appetite are all the dining options.
Yeah, have you tried food service to your cabana?
Ooh, yum.
Flip, where'd she go? Book your cruise vacation to Carnival Celebration Key, a paradise you'll want to lose yourself in. Ships Registry, the Bahamas and Panama.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
I'd begin to get both of your takes on this, but the idea of the personal accolades that you've won in the last year as well. I'm interested in the motivation of it because, of course, the cliche is it's a team sport and that's the overriding motivation. But it can't not motivate you to be in the conversation as one of the best players in the world. Like, I know you were both at the World Rugby Awards where the Dream Team was selected, the Players of the Year were selected. That's surely motivation for what's to come in the next couple of years as well.
Yeah, like, I think all those kind of personal accolades, like, I always feel like they're not just mine because, like, 6-year-old Aoife wouldn't have got the train sessions if my parents hadn't drove the car, or, like, I wouldn't have been as hardy on the pitch if my brothers hadn't have bet me up outside in the garden. Like, so, yeah, like, I think, like, those awards don't just belong to me. They belong to my whole support system. They belong to the girls, the staff, everyone. But, like, I've set out since I was 6 years old, and I was chatting to a coach about it last night, that I've always said I wanted to be the best in the world. And right now, I don't think I'm quite there, which is exciting, but I think I could be there one day because I don't think it's an unrealistic goal.
That's class.
Yeah.
How amazing is that to hear, Brian?
That's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's so much of sport is about inner belief, about, you know, backing yourself. And obviously, if you've got that raw talent, what differentiates you from, you know, being that next level of top, properly world-class consistently, and it's just an inner belief piece. It's funny, the accolades piece is a byproduct of the teams you're involved in. You know, if your team is struggling, you're not going to make those sort of world teams, world 15s. And I remember in 2008 when I was going through a really bad patch that I couldn't get out of a bad rut, injured, personal disappointment, got arrested in New York. It wasn't my fault. So I went and saw a sports psychologist and I spoke to Michael Checa, and
everything was about, I needed to change my, you know, my focus individually, but you needed the collective, the team to help you get there. But I remember saying I wanted to be nominated in 2009 for World Player of the Year. That was my target. And the really silly thing was I should have said I want to be World Player of the Year because I got nominated. So I actually achieved my goal that day or that year, but I didn't get to the ultimate of being World Player of the Year. But I think looking at the quality, looking at your ability, looking at your age profile, you have all of the qualities that absolutely are possessed in the best players in the world, and you just need the helping hand of all of your team. So it's brilliant to see that belief, that inner belief, that confidence, and that drive to go and achieve it. And you'd be a silly man to bet against you.
Cheers, thank you.
What's important as well is that you have the memories of Ireland's Grand Slam in 2013. You have obviously a section of this history where maybe it wasn't so successful over the last number of years and the team is back, but you are old enough to remember 2013 and that Grand Slam, and obviously winning the Triple Crown that year as well, beating the New Zealand team in the World Cup. I think we actually have a photograph of you and Fiona Coughlin from one of the warm-up games ahead of one of the World Cups from Malahide, which we'll get up in just a moment. There you are. You remember that? That is Malahide, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, all right, yeah. God, I remember showing Fiona that actually when we were coming home from Monaco, and she was like, God. But it feels like a long time ago, but like I'd say I was probably maybe 9 in that photo, or maybe 8 or something like that. So realistically, it's actually probably not that long ago, to be honest.
Because we got in touch with Fiona Hayes to get us that photograph. And she said you stuck out because we didn't have any fans at the time. The people who were there were really super fans.
Yeah.
So obviously, it was your mom bringing you to games at the time? Like, your family was obviously really, really interested in this and bringing you around because they knew that this team was doing special things.
Yeah, like it was both my parents, to be honest. Because as I said, like I started rugby when I was 6, and I always wanted to be the best in the world. But when I started, I didn't know there was a women's team, so I wanted to be the best player on the men's team. And they were like, right, we're going to change this up now. But they brought me to every single game that they could, whether it was in Ashburn, Malahide, whether it was Leinster playing in Donnybrook or wherever they were playing. They had me there, and it was gas because I think like some of the players knew me by name. And it was literally just because I would say I was probably one of the biggest fangirls going. So it's gas when like I'd speak to Fiona every now and then, and like, it, to me, I'm still like, oh my God. But like, she's probably like, Jesus, this young one. Like, yeah, so it's gas. Like, I got a birthday present, and it's probably one of my favorite birthday presents ever, of when I was 10 and the women had just won the Grand Slam. Gooses from Gorey, which was my first club. And my mom got in touch with him. You couldn't buy a women's jersey at the time. It's like the circular IRFU crest instead of the kind of like shieldish one that is now. And Goose got a jersey, and he got every player on the team to sign it. And he gave it to me for my 10th birthday, and it's hung above my bed ever since. So it's probably my favorite present ever.
Class. When we speak to people that you've worked with, another person who was playing in and around that era is Tanya Rosser, who I was speaking to yesterday. And one of the great things she's actually said on the record is that the nickname she's given you in Leinster camp is the chiropractor, like Brian Lima. Just how satisfying is it to be somebody who loves the big tackle and, I guess, doing it week in, week out in every single training session to get to that level where your coach is comparing you to Brian Lima?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. Like my mom jokes about it all the time. Like, when I was a kid, I was coached by Shane Byrne, obviously ex-Lions player and that kind of thing. And he'd come down, and I played with his two daughters as well. But when I was going up through his team, or even when I was younger with the lads, like, the coaches would always kind of be like, right, 50% is what we're going at for this contact now. I'd be like, you sure? And they're like, no more than 50. And it's gas because when I was growing up then with the girls team, we were doing tackle drills, and my mom was made hold the bag because no one else would hold the bag for me. So Yeah, she was the poor one that got to hold it. But yeah, everyone else was kind of like, oh, don't go in that line. So no, it's funny. I still get slagged about it to this day. Like, in sure, like we used to have good crack growing up, where we got a new tackle shield at home one time, and we decided it would be a great idea to try use it in the kitchen. So Mam held the bag, and I think it was actually my younger sister that tackled her, and the cupboard door was open behind her, and the door broke off the hinges, okay. And that was the end of the tack pad inside. But yeah, I suppose it's always been probably one of my attributes growing up. I don't know what it is. It's probably the stubbornness of just wanting to win everything, whether that's a collision or whether that's, I don't know, a jackal or a tackler or whatever it is. Like, I'm very competitive by nature. Like, even if it's, I don't know, schoolwork or anything, like, I make everything into a competition and I have to win it. So yeah, it's probably grown on me since I was younger.
And it sounds like that comes from your growing up with the brothers playing in the boys' team. Yeah. That feeds into the sense of competitiveness today.
Oh, definitely. Like, I've three brothers and one sister, and we grew up and we were always competing against each other, and sometimes it was silly stuff, but you always wanted to be the one that won it. And I don't know whether they knew it was a competition or not, but I'd always make school into a competition too. So I'd have to have the best grades, or I'd have to have whatever. And I think they hated it because I don't think they liked that competition. But I think growing up with them definitely made me a better player.
And then the one other thing I wanted to ask you, Tani was telling us that when you were going through those moments where you weren't fully fit, you've obviously had to deal with a few injuries over the last few years, that you were just champing at the bit constantly. I mean, she had to hold you back. You're not allowed to train. You're not fit enough yet. And you were like, no, I'm absolutely going in there. Can you describe, and I'm sure it's something you've experienced as well, that sense of impatience of trying to get back out there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I suppose, like, when I tore my hamstring in 22, like, it's probably the lowest point of my career, and like, it's gas because I got my first cap on Saturday, Sunday against Italy, and I tore my hamstring on a Thursday, so my career was less than a week long. But it's a crazy experience where it's like you're a rugby player, but you can't play rugby. So I definitely felt that loss of identity, that kind of feeling of hopelessness, really, of, geez, what am I if I can't play rugby? And yeah, it's a bit mad, but I think what the coaches nowadays are really good at is putting on skills where if you hurt your leg, there's something upper body you can do if it's passing or something, or if you hurt your arm, there's something technically that you can do lower body. So no matter what your injury is, they're really good at tailoring the skills session to be able to do what you can do, which is really, really good at the minute.
That's also where you create the competition piece as well, where, you know, you're told, okay, you've an injury, you sometimes have an operation, and you're told, okay, it's a 2-month recovery. And you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
it's 6 weeks, you know, and it's just always trying to beat it. So to understand other people that have been back, you know, and it took them this length of time, it was like, right, that's the target. I got to be a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, and give the specialist or the surgeon no reason at all to let you back out there. And any of the big injuries that I had, any of the surgeries, it was always like, right, me. And it was only me and that injury, competing with yourself every single day. And it can be lonely, but it's that little challenge, that little mini win. And it's funny how friendly you become with the physios or the trainers, where you're living in each other's pockets for a period of time, and you find out so much about one another. But I think in those instances, you find out so much about yourself, about how much you really do want to be back and prove a point. You look at Dan Sheehan at the moment, amazing to get back so quickly after an ACL injury. Like, that's unheard of. And I've just heard about the diligence gone into his recovery, literally no stone unturned. So, you know, it's those small wins, and now he's going to be playing in the Six Nations, most likely.
Absolutely. Aoife, it's obviously been an unbelievable last 12 months, and I'm sure you had very clear goals. Can you share with us what the specific goals are for 2025? We're, what, a month away, 2 months away from the Women's Six Nations, and then the big one in September, the World Cup.
Yeah, well, first off, we've Six Nations, and we've France at home, and we're really eyeing up that game, because I think everyone left Canada, and we were like, God, would we love a crack at France right now. So we're in camp from mid-February, and I'm sure everyone's going to be talking about how we can beat France. We already are, to be honest, in the programme, and that's definitely first up. But I suppose, like, you're looking at that Six Nations and you want to be competitive against England. They're obviously, they're quite far ahead of everyone, to be honest, but that gap is closing, and we're really excited to nearly be at the forefront of that gap closure. And then obviously you have a World Cup at the end of the year, which, like I said earlier, we want to build on the success of previous teams, and we really believe that we can do that. So yeah, it's a very exciting year, I think.
Will that be a goal? And again, you can share this with us in the week that's in it. Can this team beat England?
Well, I'm going to say yeah, but...
We love that.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.